If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 643. It's your host, Danny. And we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew here in the house. We have P in Paris.
What up?
You know what I did today?
I had
lunch with MC Frags-A-Lot from DreamStation.cc and the Gamercast Network. I took it old school like a mofo. But now, I met up with Tom today and we hung out, had some lunch, and just kind of caught up and talked about the old days. Man, dude, we're freaking old. I mean, the fact that we're talking, I mean, we're literally talking about stuff from 10 years ago. And it's like, it feels like it was just yesterday, man. And we're kind of talking about how if Twitch and YouTube and all that stuff were around then, like it is now, how everything would have been different for all of us, you know, that got into podcast game back then. It'd been a completely different landscape if that kind of technology was around. It was a good conversation. It was great catching up with him.
Very cool. Shout out to Tom, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope.
I may have gone overboard and upgraded the gaming PC.
To what? What happened? What's going on?
Well, it's just over the last couple of, you know, I blame Discord. There's, you know, just been a lot of chatter going back and forth. We're all talking about, you know, what we're doing, you know, what we're playing, what are we playing on? And, you know, they've got people that are, you know, in the chat, like, you know, Def Prime and Beaker and all them. And we've just been, you know, essentially throwing, you know, conversation back and forth about what we have, what we'd like to do. And, you know, Amazon may have made a decision to give me credit and I may have used that to upgrade the rig. So I pulled the trigger on it. I'm going to be using the same monitor and, you know, the 1080 card that I have. So those are the big ticket items, but I'm just going to be, you know, just doing some overall upgrades and updating the motherboard, CPU, RAM, and going full SSD, not just for the operating system, but a separate SSD just for the games itself as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be here next week. And I'll do some unboxing and maybe put some pictures up on the Discord channel so everybody can see it. So I'm looking forward. Those are one of the things that I kind of enjoy as part of the whole thing that, you know, that we, you know, as you build it, I know somebody posted the picture of their completed build this week earlier today, and it looked pretty nice, and I'm looking forward to doing it. I think I've got some ideas of what I want to do, maybe grab some, you know, some heat shrink and, you know, make everything look super nice and clean and Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's fun. It's kind of like one of those relaxing, do it, you know, over the weekend type things. And it's fun. Good stuff.
Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. And also you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamerTagRadio.
All right, what happened?
To who?
To whom? And your goddamn father. Sorry, my face is tired from dealing with everything. And right now, I just want to know what happened with Alec. Not how he died. I pulled those logs. What happened with Pathfinder?
Paris, there's been a lot of talk about Mass Effect coming out now, what, in a couple days? Are you planning to still get it, or you're officially quitting this, or what?
Why are you calling me out? Why don't you ask Pete that question? Ask Pete. What's Pete doing?
No, the reason I'm asking you, because you're the one always posting links, always posting on Twitter and talking about it on the show. So I'm going to start with you. That's why I'm calling you out, sir.
I have no comment.
But on the real. But on the real, like there's been different mixed review, not reviews, but more like impressions and stuff, right?
So, okay. I honestly don't think it's that mixed. I think the vast majority has been positive. But to answer your question, I canceled my pre-order. I'm out. I'm going to wait. I even thought about doing the EA access thing for $5 and just checking it out. But to be perfectly blunt, what I've seen of the initial, you know, because some sites obviously are reviewing right now, they've been kind of showing like the first intro stuff. It has bored me to tears.
Yeah.
It does not look interesting to me at all. And that's just me. And look, I've had some people behind the scenes that have tried to talk me off the ledge, but my spidey sense is telling me do not get this game on the 21st. So I canceled my pre-order. I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to see what other people have to say. And then I will eventually play it. Cause look, playing Horizon Zero Dawn right now, you know, playing Ghost Recon. I have enough stuff going on. Right. So I don't need to add that to the mix. Just like I didn't get a Switch in Zelda. It can wait. That's how I look at it. So I'm waiting.
Okay.
And that, and let me say this. Let me say this real quick. And this is not to dissuade anyone that is looking forward to Mass Effect. Trust me, I have it on great authority that this game is good and the people I've talked to are loving it. I'm not seeing it. My eyeballs are not seeing what everyone else is seeing. So I'm just gonna wait. The older I get, the grumpier and angrier I get, and I'm learning to just wait versus run out and get something. I'd rather wait, see what other people are saying first, than to run out, get it, and then I'm like, why the hell did I pick up this game? I don't like it. So we'll see. And like I've been saying for months, man, I've just not seen anything from the marketing that makes me jump out of my chair and go, oh my God, I got to play Mass Effect. I've yet to see that.
I was looking at the pictures of like some of the faces of the characters, man, I don't know. They look kind of weird, man. Now that you guys talked about it a couple weeks ago, I looked at it and yeah, I think you guys are right, man. It looks kind of off for some weird reason.
It does.
Huh. P, are you still getting this game, P, or no?
I don't know. I will play it. I just don't know if, like Paris said, if I'm going to be there day one, you know, clamoring. I don't know if I'm going to, I know I said I was going to consider using EA access and getting it a few days early. I'm just, I don't want to say that the reviews have swayed me because like Paris said, out of all of the people reviewing it, there's been a much smaller contingent of people saying that it's not worth, or it's not as good as what we're being sold. But I'm just not as invested in the Mass Effect experience like a lot of other people are. So I don't have the level of expectation or the level of hype that most others do. Not to say that the title isn't worth or isn't valid or doesn't validate the need to be a, one of those titles that, that have it. But I enjoyed Mass Effect 3 a lot. I've said it before, the Mass Effect 1 put me to sleep within the first hour. And I've maybe got a few hours on Mass Effect 2, and it's actually, I'm looking at, because I bought the complete set for PC, so I have it. It's not like, you know, I don't or don't want to play or don't have the chance to play it. Uh-huh. There's just okay. So many other games out right now that are taking up the free time that I do have to play games, and it's not one of those that it doesn't call me the way Wildlands has over the last, you know, hasn't consumed my free time over the last couple of weeks, or previously with a title like whether it be For Honor, whether it be Destiny, which consumed, you know, the better part of my life and marriage for the last 3 years. I know there's been talk about, you know, would I still be playing Destiny 2 coming up, you know, shortly once it comes out. And if I'm getting it on PC or getting on whatever, if I got into something, it would be something more along the lines of that. And unless Mass Effect Andromeda shows me otherwise, it's a wait and see type game for me.
Okay. All right. Listeners, send us your feedback. Let us know what you get, what you think. And let us know if you're going to buy this, man. So we could start a pretty cool conversation next time. So, all right, but it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so let's go with the first caller. He's a new listener and a podcaster from all the way from New Zealand.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. How's it going? My name's Jason. I'm from New Zealand. I'm a first-time listener to podcasting itself as well. So you guys are the first show I've ever listened to. I'm loving it. I love what you guys talk about. I listen to you guys during work as well. So my question is about cross-platform. I've played cross-platform on Rocket League. I was a bit disappointed that, because how it works is they mask the profiles, so you can't really view each player's profile. I was a bit disappointed with that, because what if you got a friend, say, I'm on Xbox One, he's on PS4, and I wanted to play with him? It doesn't seem that simple. Now, it just puts you in random lobbies. You can't really – I wouldn't really call it cross-platform if you can't play with your friends on another system. So my question is, if do you think games like Call of Duty and that will actually look into that and actually – do it in the near future? I mean, I reckon it'll be cool. I mean, yeah, I just want you guys' opinion on that. That'll be great. So yeah, you guys take care and keep up the good work.
What do you guys think about the cross-platform question, especially with Rocket League?
Well, I can answer it this way, because I play a lot of Gwent in the closed beta, and that is a cross-play between PC and Xbox Live, and it clearly defines when I'm matched up with an Xbox Live player, so I know I'm going up against someone on the Xbox. I've yet, because I don't really know that many people that are playing the beta, so I don't know anyone that's on the Xbox that's been playing the beta to see if I could actually match up with them directly, like in a friend match, but I'm pretty sure you can. So I'm actually surprised that Rocket League doesn't have that function on some level. But yeah, I mean, it's great for the industry to be able to have cross play. So it doesn't matter what platform you're on, you just get to enjoy the game.
Do you think that's because it's done by an indie developer versus something like Gwent, which has the resources behind it in CD Projekt Red to be able to work on something like that?
I mean, could be. Very well could be. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if because PlayStation is involved in that particular cross play along with Xbox and PC, that changes it somehow. I would assume it's probably easier to get Xbox and PC players playing together than it is to throw PlayStation in the mix. Because, like, again, with Gwent, they're not even doing PlayStation at all right now. The closed beta is just strictly PC and Xbox.
See, like, when we played Gears of War, a couple months ago, we were playing, I think, the Horde mode, and we noticed that there was icons. Like I noticed that P in Paris, they were playing the PC version. I was playing the Xbox version, the Xbox One. And yeah, there was like icons there, right? It has like icons. It'll say like who is who. So,
but that's a little different though, because I mean, technically what Microsoft is doing with Xbox Play Anywhere, it's just all one platform, whether you're on the PC or on Xbox, because you're technically everyone's on Xbox Live when you're playing, right?
Okay.
Versus like what he's talking about, someone's on PlayStation Network, someone's on Steam, someone's on Xbox Live, but you all get to play together. Or like where I'm playing Gwent, I played through GOG, but I'm playing against people that are on Xbox Live. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is too, I think that Rocket League, they added that feature way after launch.
Yeah, they did.
Like way after that. So yeah. I mean, hopefully when if they ever work on part two, maybe they'll have that feature from the get, from some like since day one, that the data comes out and everything. So that will work for them, I think. But we'll see.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have another caller from all the way from Atlanta.
How you doing, GTR family? This is DeAndre calling from Atlanta. I just want to talk about something, man, and see what you guys think. I recently bought the PS4 Pro, and I think I called y'all guys back in October and told you guys I built a PC, and I've been gaming on both of those consoles, and I also game on the Xbox. But I think Xbox is in trouble, man. I haven't picked the Xbox up, and I say, let's say around 2 months. I've been gaming on the PS4 Pro, and I've been gaming on the PC. I haven't picked the Xbox up. The last game I played, I think, was Gears of War 4 and Forza Horizon 3. But I haven't played the game since. So what do you think Xbox needs to do in order to, I mean, win me back in as a gamer? Because I haven't played anything on the Xbox One since those games. But, guys, I really think Xbox is in trouble. Let me know what you guys think, and then y'all guys keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
All right, so he just purchased a PlayStation 4 Pro and also plays a lot of PC games. But he thinks the Xbox is in trouble. So what should Xbox do to get him back to play this system?
He's right, by the way.
I mean, you guys always say that because for some reason. No.
Well, it's a broken record at this point. Games. That's what they need to do. Games, period.
They're not in trouble, though. Do you actually think they're in trouble?
Okay. Define trouble, I guess, is the case here. They're not even being competitive with what Sony's doing right now in the console space. And it really comes down to, once again, games. Where's their Horizon Zero Dawn this generation? I mean, and not even being snarky. I'm being just 100 about this. Where's their Horizon Zero Dawn? We've not seen it. We don't even see anything on the horizon that potentially could be it. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Where's the new exclusive IPs coming to the Xbox platform? And the fact that they're doing Xbox Play Anywhere, you've made it even less incentive to own an Xbox, which, hey, you know, I'm fine with, right? I'll just play it on the PC. Any games that come out, I'll pick up the exclusive console games I want on a PlayStation. So in that sense, he's right. His Xbox is collecting dust because he's not seeing anything on the Xbox platform to play right now. Whereas obviously he's seeing third-party and exclusive PlayStation games, and he's just deferring to the PlayStation. And that's what the majority of gamers have been doing this generation. So in that sense, he's right.
Yeah, there's no overwhelming requirement or need to go and buy an Xbox One if you have a PC. And that's probably the quantifier for them. If someone doesn't have the wherewithal, whether it's the timing, the budget, or the technical expertise to go out and build or buy their own gaming PC, because whether you build it or buy it, it's still a chunk of change that's got to come out of the wallet. If you don't have that,
but see, not, oh, go.
And if you don't have something like that, then you can't do what Paris is talking about with Xbox Play Anywhere, where you can just get it on PC and not have to worry about it. But there's no other overarching reason to get an Xbox if you're going there for exclusives, right? Because, I mean, broken record aside, the last two or three attempts have fallen on their face. While they might have been a success in some people's eyes, it hasn't been a lot. It hasn't been, and I'll just use, you know, maybe PlayStation 4 games as opposed to, you know, anything from the past, but you don't have anything like the Horizon Zero Dawns that are forcing people to go out and play it. I've got a buddy at work that is a hardcore PC mustard race champion. Like, but he got a PlayStation 4, and he's been telling me the past couple of days, he's like, I can't believe I've been just leaving my PC off because I'm stuck playing Horizon Zero Dawn. Most PC players are so enamored with the fact that they've got the higher res, they've got, you know, the full on visual experience in games, and you've got people that are primarily PC players that are willing to forego that to go play Horizon Zero Dawn, not just because it's a visual glory piece, but because the story and experience is great. And you don't have that. You don't have a single title on the Xbox slate right now that forces you to go play Xbox games.
Now, I think that, you know, I will say they will be in trouble if they don't have like big announcements during E3 for this year, for like the holidays and so on. Then I'll be like, damn, they're really, really in trouble. Let me finish this, man. The thing is, I think that right now, they're probably saving everything for E3, man. You know, personally, I wish they would announce a couple things now, but who knows? Maybe when they have their first, event to promote Project Scorpio before E3, maybe they'll announce a couple games there, but the big ones is going to be probably during the week of E3, Sunday afternoon, you know? So I think they'll be okay, man. Remember, not everybody has a PC, you know, not everybody has a PlayStation 4. You know, we're the lucky ones that we have everything, you know, so we could say that. But there's a group out there that's all they play. They play Xbox all the time, man, you know? So look, I haven't really been playing a lot of Xbox, and the reason is because I really am addicted to the Zelda game, you know, but there's going to be games in the future that's coming out for the system that is going to make me go back and play the Xbox. You know, it doesn't have to be first party. We might see some third party exclusives or maybe just third party games, whatever, you know, like you guys are playing Ghost Recon on the PC. I'm playing it on Xbox, so I'm not missing out the experience.
But the problem with, and it's not really a problem, because I mean, if you look on my profile on Xbox Live, I've got probably just as much time on Xbox as I do on PC.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there's no, and again, if you don't have a PC or if you just choose to go with the Xbox ethos, and the reason I've said in the passive is I'll likely continue to support it simply because of the multiplayer experience. I can continue to play with my friends or people on my friends list that I've curated over the years of playing on Xbox Live, which still to me is a phenomenal experience. I have no problems for the most part when I'm playing on Xbox Live with friends, and that's the reason why I continue to support it on that paywall. But there's no reason from a games perspective for me to do that. There's no reason for me to continue buying it. And I don't honestly see one in the near future. Sea of Thieves doesn't appeal to me. So that's not, and it's not one of those titles that appeals to multiple demographics, right? That might appeal to one certain demographic, but there's other people that, you know, people in the so-called shooter space that don't like it. Some people in an RPG space that may not like it. People maybe in a real-time strategy type experience may like it, but I just don't see. And again, I don't want them to fail. I don't even know if it's considered a failure yet, but hopefully, whether it's this upcoming pre-E3 Scorpio event or at E3, Phil drops the bomb. They need it. They need to drop that oh my God bomb of wow. That's the game that's going to make me want to A, go buy an Xbox One, or B, go buy a Scorpio.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. And that's the thing. Let's be clear here. No one here wants Xbox to fail. I mean, Xbox failing is bad for the gaming industry overall. It's just looking at it as matter of fact and reality. The reality is Crackdown 3, Sea of Thieves, Forza 7, Cuphead are not enough this holiday. So they need more. Bottom line, they've already lost the third party advantage. That is Sony's. That's just fact, right? So it comes down to what is your incentive to get me to pick up your machine? And that's what they need to prove this E3. And they need, like I said, like Carler said, he's not played his Xbox in months. Give him an incentive to play his Xbox again. Look, they're doing things, Game Pass, things like that. Obviously, Project Scorpio coming out. These are great features moving forward. And I'm happy to see that Xbox is doing this. But at the end of the day, it does come down to exclusive AAA titles that is going to push sales on the Xbox platform, be it on PC or on the actual Xbox hardware itself.
I think they're going to do the whole like, Bethesda move that they're not going to announce anything until E3 and it's coming out this holiday. That's my misleading prediction, like what I think that's going to happen, but whatever, we'll see. Let's go with the next caller. This is about PlayStation Now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How's everything going for you guys? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I hope all is well for y'all. Just had a quick question for you guys. Wanted to get your opinion on a matter. I'm sure you guys already know because y'all stay on top of everything, but it looks like the PlayStation Now service that's been slimmed down to just being on the PlayStation 4 and on the PC, they were saying that it looks like it's going to be some changes being made, and it's going to step out of the realm of just PlayStation 3 games, but are also going to put PlayStation 4 games onto the service, you know, on the PC. So it's very interesting to me, and I'm sure that they won't be putting anything like Uncharted 4 on there anytime soon. But my question to you guys is, how soon do you think those AAA titles will come to the service? I mean, you know, like your Uncharted 4s or your Horizon Zero Dawns, or, you know, those AAA titles. Just wanted to get your opinion on that. You know, people are saying that the PlayStation 4, it's not the same situation as, you know, Xbox Play Anywhere because you can't do everything natively. And, you know, it just still seems like a bias when it comes to that, when the same thing is happening on the PlayStation 4 side. So I don't know. But just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that. And thank you very much, guys, for everything that you do. And you guys take care. Bye-bye.
All right. So Sony did mention a couple of changes now they're going to be adding PlayStation 4 games where you could play on the PC. But the caller wants to know, when are we going to see the big AAA titles that's going to be on PlayStation Now for those that would like to play it on their PC? Your thoughts, guys?
Probably a few years from now, you'll see an Uncharted or something like that come up. And I do think it's also ridiculous to try and compare what they're doing with PlayStation Now to Xbox Play Anywhere, because I've been saying it before, I'll say it again, I flat out refuse to spend money on game streaming over the internet because it is not one-to-one. There is lag no matter how what they tell you, and to me it just does not feel like a real gaming experience. So I view this as a last ditch effort for Sony trying to save PlayStation Now. I think it was a gamble, and ultimately it's just something that's going to fail. Sony needs to adopt real backwards compatibility on the PlayStation 4 platform and do what Xbox is doing. Start a subscription service. I think it would go over great if they did.
Well, if you think about it, it's a streaming subscription service.
Are you throwing money at it?
Oh, hell no.
All right, there you go.
Simply and more yeah. So because I just don't have confidence in the streaming service. Obviously, they don't either because they ripped it out of every other potential box that you could use it on, and now they're just limiting it to just PS4 and PC. Whereas before, anything Sony was valid, including I think it was a Samsung TVs as well, allowed you to use it. And then as of August, it goes bye-bye. The other concern, at the end of the day, it's still a streaming service. Look at what Microsoft's doing with Game Pass, where you could play local. You're not worrying about, you know, streaming it and, oh, well, if you have a buffer issue or you whether it be the fault of the provider, your router takes a dump and you've got to bounce, you've lost your game, you've lost potential game save, now you got to start all over again. It's why it's 2017. I mean, and as petty as that sounds, it's 2017. We have the infrastructure via high-speed internet at more or less 90% of the country. I understand that there's some places. I drove through half of them going to Tampa, St. Pete this past weekend, where you've got no service. But for the most part, that you've got a good solid backbone for internet across the country. Utilize it. Let people download it. And I just don't think that the streaming is the right way to go. It might be great for Netflix, might be great for watching content such as, you know, Twitch or YouTube gaming and things like that. But as far as trying to do this for a streaming game service, we've seen it attempted in several times. I know there's a couple of other iterations coming out now, of game streaming. Was it 402 was on a show a couple weeks ago talking about that as well. And that might work because those are not games that are as demanding as a, you know, an Uncharted 4 or something like that. But for something, I just don't see it working. I just don't see it a worthwhile cause.
I personally think Sony announced this because of Game Pass. They announced this a couple of days after the announcement of Game Pass, just to get create a buzz. Like, yeah, we got this too. But the thing is that they need to change is, okay, have your streaming service, but at least make it cheap for the PlayStation consumer, you know, because the way how they have it now, the prices is ridiculous. And I'd rather go with Game Pass, just pay $10 and play all you want. Like every month they will change it, you know, but I think that's like the right way. Pay just $10 a month and play any PlayStation game you want. I think that would be cool if they could do that, you know? So, do you guys have any emails you want to read before I play more voicemails? Because I have a couple of voicemails here.
So keeping up with the Xbox theme here, this comes from Christopher, and he's saying, "Hey guys, my name is Chris and I'm from Woodridge, Virginia, and I love your show. I found it through Spotify 2 years ago and always look forward to each episode. My question could probably be answered really quick, but I want to ask to finally get it out of the way. Is Project Scorpio a next-gen system, or is it more like the PS4 Pro, whereas it's more like a better model but not necessarily a PS5? Or do we even know yet? I ask because on a lot of, and my dog says he has his answer. All right. I ask because on a lot of gaming news sites, they compare it to the PS4 Pro when I was under the impression that Scorpio is the next-gen Xbox, as in an Xbox 4. Thanks, guys." So here's the thing. You're right. We don't know. Nobody knows. The only person that knows is Phil Spencer, probably. Maybe Aaron Greenberg or something, right? But
and developers.
Okay. Yeah.
It's true. It's a fact.
And developers.
It's a fact.
You Whitney Houston, I got receipts. No, but I'm going to say, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. And as you can see, I'm salty and grumpy today. So take that as you will. I think it's closer to a PS4 Pro than it is to being. What? Was I just giving my opinion? Was Danny giving his opinion? I can't remember now.
All of the above.
We're all giving opinion.
Answer it, Danny. You tell us what's going on.
Based on the developer of Shadow of War, he said that the Xbox Scorpio will be the most powerful console ever created, according to the developer. But of course, they're saving more info about the system for E3. So for you to say that this is kind of like a PlayStation Pro is just crazy talk. But go ahead, Paris. Continue.
I have nothing else to say. You said it all.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Because in my opinion, because if I give my opinion, you just jump in and go wrong, sad, fake news,
sad.
See you in court, Pete. You want to say anything, Pete?
You gonna give us a chance to talk?
Yeah, go for it, man. hugs and kisses to all.
Is Project Scorpio next gen system? I want to see it first, and then give me specs. Give me hardcore specs. Before I say anything else on that. Honestly, there's no reason to try and compare who's bigger, better, who's got the better device until we see whether it's Digital Foundry saying, oh, we got 30 minutes with Project Scorpio and here's what we found. Something conclusive, something definitive that tells us what it is. Is it a comparable box? Is it, you know, is what Microsoft doing going to be able to compare to what PS4 is doing with, you know, dual GPUs as compared to the regular PS4 Slim? What's under the box? What's under the hood?
Here's my opinion about all this. I don't care about the most powerful console. I don't care about PC 4K. Don't care about PlayStation 4 Pro. You know what I care about? I care about games.
You care about games.
No, I care about games. And it's the truth. I'm playing right now on Nintendo Switch. It's not the powerful console at all. But you know what? Zelda's pretty good. Zelda's a pretty good game. And it's not a powerful console. 3DS, not a powerful handheld device. But it has some great
games.
But
are they next gen?
So at the... But why?
That's the question. Danny. That's the question of the fan mail. Is it next gen? Don't come over with this Switch talk because Switch is not next gen.
No, it's not. It is next gen for Nintendo product. It is a next gen for Nintendo product, Pete. What? So next gen has to be graphics and power, and that's it? And yes. 4K? That's next
what
gen,
next
Pete?
Generation hardware is
so,
about.
So wait a minute. Let me ask you this.
Not
what
using
Nintendo
the same
Switch
hardware
is?
That's on my iPhone or you know, on my tablet.
Whoa. Pete, let me ask you this. What is a definition to you a next-gen console is to you?
Next-gen console is one that changes the boundaries. Technically,
okay,
from a hardware perspective, changes the game.
Yeah.
Nintendo and isn't Nintendo, changing the game by coming with a handheld.
Pete, Nintendo just... Okay, to me, my definition is if a company releases a console, right, 4 years from now, that console should be more powerful or better than the previous. So Nintendo Switch, in my opinion, is more powerful and better than the previous system from their product, which is the Wii U. Same thing with the Wii U. Before that was the Wii. That's how it is. Not because is that more powerful than Xbox and PlayStation 4? No, it has nothing to do with that, man. Like, look, now Xbox Scorpio is coming out. That one is a more powerful system than the previous one. That's how it is. Same thing with PlayStation 4 Pro. That to me is next gen, not the most powerful console and that's it.
Okay. Take your cookie and go away. It's true, though, because like I come up with my... You ask me what my opinion is, what I think next gen is, which is what the question really is all about. And he's asking...
Yeah, of course.
He's not talking about Nintendo. You'll read through it. I know you don't read, but just humor us for a second.
Oh, my God. There is
nothing that says Nintendo in here. He wants to know, is Project Scorpio a next-gen system, or is it more like the PS4 Pro, which all they did was slap on another GPU?
Now, I know. I read what I said about the developer, Shadow of War developer. They said it's the most powerful console. Now, is it true? I don't know until we see it.
Can I interject a little bit?
Yes, Paris. Go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
See you in court.
Okay. I'm going to say this one thing, and then I'll shut up. Don't hit me. The fact that any Xbox One game is playable on Scorpio and basically any game that comes out this holiday that'll be launched with Scorpio also plays on Xbox One, in my opinion, makes it closer to PS4 Pro than to truly be a next-gen system. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Hugs and kisses.
No hugs and kisses.
All right, so this is a pretty cool voicemail. This is a caller from all the way from Puerto Rico.
Hey guys from BTR, this is Anthony straight from La Isla del Encanto, Puerto Rico. Danny, I know you might be mad, but so good, man. We got you last night. Anyway, I'm here to talk about, you know, I just bought the Nintendo Switch for my little kid, and Danny just saw the video on Facebook. He replied to the video in there, and man, it was one of the coolest moments. I was so hyped, and to see the reaction from my kid, it was something else. It was so cool. But anyway, guys, just wanted to let you know about it and see what kind of stories you have like this. And, you know, love you guys. I enjoy the show. Listen every single episode, and hope you have a great day.
First of all, thanks for the call. And it was cool. I was on Facebook today, and I got to see his video that he posted. His name is Anthony. Shout out to Anthony. I saw the video of him surprising his son. He's like, hey, open the box and so on. And please throw out the garbage. Like, the kid didn't know. Like, his son was like, okay. So he opened the box and he noticed it was a Nintendo Switch. And he was freaking out, screaming and everything. So he, you know, Anthony wants to know, especially you guys, you know, you guys have kids and everything. Do you have like any cool stories similar to this? Like surprising your kid with like a console or a game or something that it got them like all excited and everything?
Oh, I did this to my son a couple of years ago. It was Christmas. He wanted a gaming PC, went out and I reached out to the folks at Origin, got him a dope setup. Mm-hmm. Came Christmas time, I let him open up the box, got it filmed, and you know, I got the camera out and ready and opening it up. I had swapped out all the contents of the box with like an old broken like Dell Optiplex 210 or something like that, and like an old like dusty power brick and like a Microsoft study guide. So when he opened it up, he thought he was opening up a brand new box with a brand new gaming PC, but inside was like this old beat up desktop and books.
I remember that video. I remember watching that.
And then just the look on his face, like, where's the computer? Like, and then I came like, around the corner, and you know, I had handed the phone to my camera to my wife, and then I had come around the corner, I'd gone and picked it up, and then I picked it up and I brought it over, and he was just like the sigh of relief and happiness, like, yeah. Okay, I got trolled, but here's the real gift, and I'm happy now. And to this day, he still uses that thing on a daily basis. That thing's a workhorse. And shout out to the folks at Origin.
That's awesome, man. What about you, Paris? You probably have good stories, right?
Nope, I don't. Let's continue.
Okay. All right. So let's go with the next question then.
I mean, off the top of my head, I mean, I just think about like when he got the PS4, that was a good one.
I forgot about that. What was that, this year or last year?
That was last year. Yeah. Cool. And that's what started him and I playing Destiny together. We've been playing it together ever since. So yeah, that was a good one.
That's dope. Very cool. So we have one more voicemail. This is from another caller from Puerto Rico. I'm telling you, man, ever since the Dominicans, the World Baseball Classic Round 2 series, actually the first game, they've been calling me out, man. Everybody, man, all the Boricuas hitting me up. Hey, Godfrey, what's up, man? Kind of quiet online. I'm like, come on, man, let me live. Don't worry, guys, we have two more games to go. It's all good.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Anyway, so this is another caller all the way from Puerto Rico.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. It's your boy, Joel Gil, Boricua star from Puerto Rico. Hope you're doing good. Just a quick question. We might need Miss Leo to maybe, you know, analyze this. Okay, I've heard rumors on the internet about the Project Scorpio, or Scorpion, as Vicious says. that it might be able to play PC games. I mean, that would be big. If Project Scorpio would play PC games, that would be really amazing. And I'm saying this because of a Project Centennial back in 2016 at the Microsoft Annual Developer Conference. They were talking about this, about converting DEX desktop apps or desktop PC games into the UWP, which is a Universal Windows platform. So what do you think, guys? I want to have your opinion on this subject of Project Scorpio playing PC games. Woo, that would be big. Oh, and Danny, Puerto Rico 1, Dominican Republic 0. We're winning on the Baseball Classic. I just had to throw that out. Hey, much love, guys. Keep what you're doing. Love you guys. Take care. Bye.
Uh-oh, Miss Leo prediction.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. And I've given them my predictions. You hear me?
What do you guys think? Is it possible Project Scorpio can play PC games on the console? That's the rumor. Yay or nay?
Yes. And he said it in the voicemail. They're doing it through UWP. So any developer that puts their game into UWP can be playable on Project Scorpio. That's why I'd mentioned, like with Destiny 2, if Activision makes a UWP version of it, then there you go. I'll get it on UWP, play it on the PC, and then I'll play with folks on Xbox Live. We all win.
Hmm. Now, that's probably going to make the system very different than a PlayStation Pro if they pull that off then. No?
How so?
Because you're playing PC games on your console. You can't actually do that with a PlayStation Pro 4. The only thing is just the 4K. So isn't it makes it a little bit different than the PlayStation 4 Pro?
No.
No.
I mean, all the developer is doing is saying we're putting our game into UWP. You're technically just putting it on the Xbox platform because that's what UWP really is. That's essentially is Xbox Play Anywhere. That's all you're doing. So any game that a developer decides to do, you're just saying, all right, you can play it on the PC or you can play it on the Xbox.
So is it similar to like the Steam Machine? Is it kind of like that? You can play on the PC and you can play on the Steam Machine?
Yeah, I guess in a way it is.
Yeah, okay.
But not necessarily.
Okay. But see, like someone like me that don't have a PC, I think that would be cool for me to try out some games that's not available on Xbox and play it from the PC, I could play it on Xbox. You know, like that's the thing that I like about the Steam Machine. Yeah, it's not the most powerful, you know, but it was cool playing a lot of the indie games and some cool games that's not available on the Sony or Xbox. I'll just play it through there, you know? So that's not bad. I think it's cool to discover new games like that too, man.
When was the last time you fired it up?
Well, I'm having issues with the Steam Machine. It's not turning on at all. Like I turn it on, I got it fixed, still issues. I just gave up. I just have it there. So I don't know. But if not, I was playing a lot of cool indie games on that device, you know. That's the thing that I'm kind of excited with the Nintendo Switch. They're releasing, like, I believe 65 indie games that might be exclusive for Nintendo Switch or is available on Steam and so on. And at the same time, on the go, I like that, man, you know. And plus, I'll discover, like, new games and stuff, you know, that's available on through Steam. And I play there on my Switch. So I'm excited about that. And actually, 65 games for this year alone, that's not bad. Just indie side. Not bad at all. I think that's cool. Really, really cool. So the only issues I have is if some of these indie companies are planning to release it also for retail, then, you know, sometimes if you buy the retail version, it's going to be like at least $10 more expensive than other platforms. That's the only thing I'm kind of like not happy about that at all. But we'll see once, if they only release it like through digital, we'll see. So any other questions? You want to read one more question then we wrap it up?
Actually, just came in a couple of hours ago. This one is from Alfredo.
Ooh, okay.
tried Oculus Rift at my local Emerald Palace today. And I have to say, I'm pretty excited for the future of this tech. He legitimately tried Oculus at my local Emerald Palace today. I love you.
Was it all green?
Huh?
Was it all green, that place?
Oh, yeah. If you go to the Microsoft store, it's bathed in emerald. One can only imagine the possibilities in immersion coming our way as gamers in the near future. Thank you, Alfredo, for sending that in. It made my day reading that line. Do you think the boat has passed me personally, just asking as a result of this question? Do you think VR has passed us? Like the hype train came roaring through the station and only a handful of people had tickets to jump on the train. And now like everybody else is left at the station. Like is VR really all that?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm still waiting for that game.
Exactly. Game. Like it blew in like the HD DVD thing and, you know, versus Blu-ray. And then it's like, and it just kept on going like curved HD TVs.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. It's just, I think, like you said, it's all hype. Now, not that many people are really talking about VR like last year, you know? So, and the thing is too, even during CES, people were like, oh my God, VR this, VR that. And last year during E3 too. And I don't know. I'm still waiting for that game that's going to get my attention to actually buy the device. But right now I'm kind of like still waiting, man. Like I think so far all the games that have been coming out for VR, it looks like just demos. It's not like an official game. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So like the three of us got to experience VR several times last year at E3, you know, at the Ubisoft booth. Paris got that really, really cool experience with the Star Trek game. Do you still see yourselves individually buying a VR unit, whether it be an Oculus or Vive or any of the other offerings from any of the
manufacturers? Not any of the current hardware. I mean, I'm sticking by that I feel like this is all 1.0 products. I'll wait till 2.0 and reevaluate. Again, like you bring up the Star Trek thing. It was cool. It was a cool experience, but it's not something I'm clamoring to go back to again, if that makes sense. Like, I've still yet to see a full game or full social experience in VR that makes me want to run back to it and invest into it. I thought, like, when I did Minecraft, that was interesting as well. But, and that's why, again, I keep going back to Microsoft. I feel like with Project Scorpio, they're going to wait on VR 2.0 to really push that on Project Scorpio versus anything that we currently see on the market.
And I think it's kind of smart too, man. I think that was a smart move. Yeah, maybe a lot of people like me, I was kind of disappointed at the moment. But now looking at it, it's like, I think that was smart. And just wait until the right time when there's more games that's going to get everybody's attention. Then have it available for the Scorpio. I think that's smart.
Yeah, what about... What I want to say was 2 years ago, you guys got to check out HoloLens, something Halo based. Like you guys got to see the ship, like up close or something like that.
Oh, HoloLens.
Yeah, HoloLens.
HoloLens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a cool experience, but it wasn't like that was just only made for E3. It wasn't like an official game for Halo, you know. But it was cool. At the moment. It felt a little bit uncomfortable in certain situations. Like, I feel like only like a very small part you see it like HoloLens working. And sometimes when you move a little bit, it, like the experience gets all weird. And I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, right, Paris? I think you were having that issue too, right?
Yeah. Your field of view was just way too small in that thing. Yeah. It was tiny. Yeah.
But when it worked, it worked. Like, it was awesome. But it's not something that... It felt like kind of like a Universal Studios type ride. You go in there like, oh, this is cool. And then you take it off and then you play the game. that's what it was. So, but we'll see. We'll see in the future. Well, I tell you this. I played during Call of Duty XP in LA. I tried... Their game for places in VR, that thing gave me a headache. I didn't like it at all. Yeah, that gave me a major headache. Major.
I'm curious to see, like, I guess we can say the Kinect has died. It's death. Like, has Microsoft buried the Kinect? Because I remember just a few years ago, they were talking about how they wanted to use Kinect and that, what was it, like a room mapping technology? Like, what was it, Lightroom or something like that? Where you would use your game space as part of the gaming experience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, but it just stopped after that, right?
Right. And I know
it's still early. HoloLens is still early, though, man. It's way too early. Right now, they have just the dev kit out for people to come up with, like, games and stuff, but, like, an official device where people just go to the store and actually buy it, they don't have that yet, man, you know? It's more for, like, developers. That's why it's so expensive. I think it's, like, $1,000 or something like that.
It might be more. I know my
more, right? Okay.
The digital media company my wife works for, they've got HoloLens there, and it's pretty cool to see some of the stuff that they've used it for. And obviously, it's such a much larger application use than just games. Games is just like a small, minute fraction of the space that Microsoft is actually targeting for stuff like this. So it's interesting to see how different companies, like, you know, use something, you know, along the lines of HoloLens and using that VR/AR experience, whether it be to do marketing or if it's going to be a medical/science type application or video games. It's akin to what we were talking about earlier with Scorpio and Microsoft as a whole. It almost seems like Microsoft is going deeper into the lab to try to play with things that are not commonplace, and not for a lack of trying. I think and bringing this all back together again, I just hope that they're just not going too far down the tech rabbit hole of trying to find a different experience when it could be right under their hands. It could be right, you know, right on the table in front of them, and they're not missing it. You know, like, I want to see. Gaming loses big time, whether it's from a consumer or gamer's perspective, when they're not at the top of their game. And I think gaming needs them to pick that. They need to pick it up. They need to step up and come back hard, because everybody wins at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that forces Sony's and that forces the Nintendo's and everybody else in between to step their games up. And the next thing you know, it's a whole new, that whole cycle of great experiences starts back up again. And so,
yeah, that's why companies should take risk, man. You know, sometimes product's going to work, sometimes it doesn't work. You know, I'm not going to lie. Like, I at the moment, I liked the whole idea of Kinect, and then, you know, it wasn't 100%. Then, you know, I love also PlayStation Vita. I think that was a really cool device. It didn't work out. Like, they thought it was gonna be like a big thing, you know. So it's cool to see at least companies take that risk, you know. And we'll see in the future, man. I hope we get to see more of that. You know, like right now, you know, Nintendo with the Switch, I think, you know, for a fact that Sony and Microsoft are really keeping an eye on this, you know, and maybe that will probably influence them to maybe create a product similar to this for their company in the future. You never know. So keep it up. So anything else, guys, before we wrap it up, or we're good?
I think we're good.
All right, cool. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our episodes over there. Subscribe, follow us, review us, share with your friends. Go to Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. And very quick, your thoughts. Matrix reboot.
No.
Thank you. Bad idea. And next week, Dave Chappelle, Netflix. Ooh, yeah. That's going to be good. Can't wait for that. So, all right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
I'm not against the Matrix remake.
What, Paris?
I'm not against it.
You're going to be by yourself at the movie theaters. I'm not supporting that. That's a classic.
Like, I can see why he would say something like that, thinking of maybe like the way Star Wars is maybe approaching the surrounding experience of Star Wars, not focusing solely on the Lukes and the Hans, et cetera, but the other people's, you know, maybe seeing a young Morpheus, how he came about.
See, that don't mind, but not like a reboot, like this, do the first movie or something like that. I don't know. I just don't like the whole idea. I don't know.
You just flip-flop right there. You big time, you know, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Sad. All right, we're out. Sad. See you in court. I'm out. Peace. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
PS5, or do we even know yet? I ask because on a lot of, and my dog says he has his answer. All right. I ask because,
wow,
they're not stopping from barking. Amazing. I ask because on a, wow, pause this.
Yeah. He knows about four.
He's like, don't you dare start talking crap about my Project Scorpio.
he's an emerald. He supports emerald. Good dog.
Let the dog bark. All right.